All right. So, you know, I said it earlier today. I'll say it for the recording that this drash that I'm doing today, the lesson, the teaching I'm doing today, actually came from Torah from today last week. Something was said by someone who I thought about it, and I didn't think much of it at the time, to be honest with you. It was just another thing that was said, but it had a lot of weight to it. And the more I thought about it, the more it was there. So, let me give a plug, again, that if you're not coming to Torah for Today, maybe you want to, whether it be online or whether it be here in person, because there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of meat being chewed up there at Torah for Today. So, you know, when we look at the Torah, we look at God's words, we should see them more than just a bunch of rules. You know, as Aaron was saying, he was reading through, it felt like he was reading through instructions on how to put something together from IKEA. You know, it was do this and do this and do this and do this. And man, I mean, it's almost as bad as numbers. You know, there's just directions and instructions and regulations and commandments and rules and whatever you want to call them. It's just one after another. But Torah is more than just a way of doing something. Torah is more than just how we're to live. It's also supposed to be a review that we go through. It's supposed to be how do we live. The Torah has been described as a mirror, so that then it reflects back who we really are, how we're actually living, where we are in our relationship with Adonai. Now, there are many, especially in the world, they look into that mirror and they say, whoa, I am far from Adonai. Hey, Adonai, come on over here. Right? So we should be saying, you know, look in that mirror. Where am I? Adonai, Ruach HaKodesh, help me move closer to you. That's really what we should be doing. But people want to look in that mirror of Torah and they want to say, you know, oh, I have free will. I have free will. So I can do what I desire. And what I desire to do is, you know, I want to follow as much of Torah as I can or as I want. And for the things that, well, those are quite scriptural, I'll hold on to them anyway. I'm not ready to let them go. That's not what Torah is for. Torah gives us a free will to look into that mirror, see where we are, how we're living, and then say freely, Adonai, Ruach HaKodesh, help me to move closer to you. That's free will. Free will is our being able to say, Ruach, help me move closer to you. So we look into the mirror of Torah, we should see two aspects. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Two aspects when we look into Torah. And they are faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. Because faith is thought. Faith is the thought that Adonai is the creator of all and should be followed. Obedience is the action that's carried out to prove our faith. Now, I've seen recently online a discussion that went back and forth about what needed to be done for salvation. And it was actually framed online as, do Gentiles need to follow Torah? That was the discussion going on. The Gentiles need to follow Torah in order to gain salvation. And there were people, very knowledgeable people, on both sides. And really, it comes down to what's required. Is it faith alone? Is it obedience alone? Or, as I believe, it's a combination of the two that really are required for eternal salvation. So that's the question for today. Now, Rav Shaul says this in Romans 5 when he speaks of two men. He speaks first of Adam and the original sin that came through him, and then he speaks of Yeshua and what it took for the world to see salvation through him. So Romans 5:18, starting there, says this. So then, through the transgression of one, condemnation came to all men. Likewise, through the righteousness of one, came righteousness of life to all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be set right forever. So Paul, Rav Shaul says, Rabbi Shaul says, it was the obedience of one man that caused salvation to all men. It was not the thoughts that he had towards Yeshua or Adonai. Well, Yeshua was the one man. It was not, Yeshua didn't have, wasn't the thoughts of Yeshua towards Adonai. It was his obedience, his action, that took salvation for the world, brought salvation for the world. He's not just the provider of our justification, which is the wiping out of the original sin or all the sins that we had before we accepted, but also the example of sanctification, of that living out our lives in a way that retains salvation for us as delivered by Yeshua and his actions. Just like it was not only the thoughts of Yeshua that caused salvation for all men, it is also not only the thoughts of each man that will cause the salvation for each person. Look what Yeshua says in Matthew 7, starting in 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. When we look at these verses, what we need to remember is that these are still a part of the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes. From Matthew 5:1 through 7:29, Yeshua is teaching Torah. So when he says that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, and have done some works to enter, you know, hey, Lord, look, I did this. Lord, I did that. What he's saying is that it takes more than just calling on his name or knowing who he is or even just doing some things of Torah, especially when they're just some of the things you want to do, but that we're expected to follow through and complete all of what he was teaching. All what he was teaching on, which was Torah. Which again, you know, we look at this story, it appears that the ones that he was talking about, who he was using as an example in that teaching, were obedient on some of the points. They did some of the deeds. They even said, look, we prophesied, we drove out demons. You know, if you saw someone drive out a demon, you'd say, whoa, that's someone who's lined up with the Lord. Yeshua says, but you're not doing everything. You may be doing something, but you're not doing everything. And it was by my grace that I drove out that demon, not because of your righteousness. They need to follow all of Torah, he says. Now, let me remind you, not actions give us salvation. It's not that we do that gives us salvation. It's not works that causes salvation. It's a combination of works and faith. Faith and works. Obedience completes the work of salvation through the faith. I believe that an incomplete salvation, only doing the things that we want to do, only doing the things that we believe or do, is like an incomplete boat. We may build the front half of that boat to look lovely and wonderful, but if you do nothing on the back end or you don't complete the back end, that boat's sinking. You'll be flooded by the world and sink in your sin. And this is what we're told in Deuteronomy 28. Starting in Deuteronomy 28:1, it says, "Now if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of Adonai your God." Moses was speaking here, and he says, as a reminder to the Israelites, that they were about to enter into the promised land, they have to do his votes. They have to do the instructions. They need to listen to the voice of Adonai, the whole voice of Adonai, all the words of Adonai. You can't pick and choose. I like this word. I'm not crazy about that one. I love doing this. On that one. We can't leave any of them behind. When Adonai says through Moses to do all of his mitzvot, he really did mean inclusive of all of the mitzvot. Now, this is why we say the Shema. Deuteronomy 6:4 is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Sounds familiar, right? We say it every week. The word for Shema is translated as hear. And we know it's really more than just hear. We know it's really more than just listen, but it's listen and do. Agree with what's being said, but act on it as well. It's when we do both, listen and do, that the blessing comes. It doesn't say just hear what I say and you're going to be blessed. It doesn't even say just do what I say and it's going to be blessed. Hear, believe, and do. By hearing and then obeying the words of Torah, we can then rise up against all our evil thoughts. But know this, and don't be fooled by the enemy about evil thoughts. Just as we are not stayed by our good thoughts, but by our actions as well, that come from the good thoughts, so we're not lost by thoughts that tempt us. But it is by the actions that come out of the temptation that will cause disobedience. It's the actions that come from temptations that will cause us to be lost. And it's the actions that we take that come from faith that causes us to be saved. That's why Shaul wrote in Romans 16 what the strength of the good news is. This is what he writes, Romans 16:25. "Now to the one who is able to strengthen you according to my good news and the proclamation of Yeshua the Messiah, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages, but now is revealed, and through the writings of the prophets have been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the eternal God to bring about obedience of faith. Now, those final words are really very important to us today. And I'm kind of impressed with the way the Amplified Bible puts it. So let me read that in the Amplified. It says, verse 26, that's the second half of what I read. It says, but is now disclosed and through the prophetic scriptures is made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to win them to obedience of faith. It is to win them, all Jew and Gentile, to obedience, action, to the faith, knowledge of who Adonai is. The winning is not just the knowledge of who Yeshua is, but to act as you know who Yeshua is and what he wants from us. It is the action that comes from faith that is the obedience of faith. Correct thoughts are not obedience, because obedience is action. Thoughts are not action. And it's obeying what Adonai is looking for. We see that in 1 Samuel, we are told that obey is better than sacrifice, right? Remember 1 Samuel 15:22 said, does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to be obeyed is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of rams. And just like those who heard Yeshua when he spoke, and what we read back in Matthew 7, that not all would get in, it was because they were picking and choosing what to do. Burnt offering is a part of obeying. That is part of the instructions of Adonai. But the burnt offerings are not the full instruction. The burnt offerings were a good thing, but not if the other instructions were ignored. During the end of the temple times, after Yeshua and before the temple was destroyed, we see that more and more people were coming to faith in Yeshua and starting to understand this principle. We're told in Acts 6 that even the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Acts 6, 7 says this, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem greatly multiplied. Even a great number of the Kohanim were becoming obedient to the faith. Now, it says, it does not say that a great number of Kohanim that the Kohanim were multiplying. It doesn't say that the Kohanim were multiplying, but that the actions of the priests were becoming obedient to faith. They started to act on the knowledge of who Messiah Yeshua was. They were going from just head knowledge of who Messiah Yeshua was. They were going from just understanding maybe he is, maybe he isn't, he is, but the Sanhedrin will kick us out if we do something about it. It's too radical for me. I understand what you're saying, but. They went from that to acting it out through obedience, to now understanding what true faith is. True faith is not just understanding it, but it's acting it out as well. That's where we gain our promise of salvation. Look what Peter said when pressed by the Sanhedrin to stop speaking of the good news in Acts 5, starting in verse 29 of Acts 5. Peter and the emissaries replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you seized and had crucified. The one God exalted at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the removal of sin. And we are witnesses of these events, as is the Ruach HaKodesh, whom God has given to those who obey. obey him. Peter states that he and we're included in this, must obey God rather than men. And that it is when we obey that we're given the Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, it's when we profess his name, but it's also when we obey. It's the action that caused the power of the Ruach to come down, as told in verse 32 there. It says that the Ruach HaKodesh is given to those who obey. People can believe, but still do whatever they want. But this is not true faith and obedience. True faith causes us to do what Adonai says, not what man says. It is the actions of true faith that causes true salvation. The writer of Hebrews also told us that obedience is what is required for eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:9, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obeyed him. Eternal salvation is not to the one who knows of him, or even the one who believes in him, but the one who obeys him. This speaks of the actions that come out of faith, moving us to actions, not just to words. We are called to take four steps. There, believe, confess, repent, and act in faithful obedience. This is what we're told in the verses that most of us know from 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, you know it. When my people over whom my name is called humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a wonderful promise. We all take hold of it. When they believe and confess and repent, that he will hear and heal. But here's the truth. Adonai did not stop talking right there. That was not the end of his discourse. His instructions continue, but most people don't want to continue the reading. They're real happy stopping right there. But if we go down to verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 7, it says this, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, doing all I have commanded you, keeping my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne as a covenant with your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man to be a ruler in Israel. Now some would say, hey, that was said about David. That's good for David. He's supposed to follow everything. Or that was for the Israelites. The Israelites are supposed to do all of that. So what they really want to do is they want to take the first part of that, right? We know many Christians, Gentiles, believers, who want to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, heal and be saved and whoopee. They don't want to continue with what Adonai says. Do what I tell you to do. All of what I tell you to do. It's as if they want to take a meat cleaver and just chop it right off. They want to take the hand that's supposed to do for them and just chop it off and let it bleed out over there somewhere. It's not what Adonai taught us, though. You have to be together. You have to believe. You have to confess. You have to repent. And then you have to do. You can't separate them. Yeshua taught to keep the two, faith and obedience, together. Matthew 22:34, starting there. But the Pharisees, when they heard that Yeshua had silenced the Sadducees, gathered together in one place. And testing him, one of them, a lawyer, asked, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the Torah? And he said to them, as you know, you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Torah and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Yeshua was saying, faith is the first of the greatest commandments. But loving Adonai with all your heart, soul, and mind, you'll follow faith by loving Him, by following Him. The second, as per Yeshua, is to love your neighbor. But you don't love your neighbor the same way you love Adonai. You love Adonai with your faith and obedience. You don't love your neighbor with faith. I have faith in you, I love you. It's not what you say to your neighbor. It's not what you say to anybody. I love you, yes. It's not that I have faith in you. Yeah, you may have faith in them, but it's not the same as with Adonai. And the actions alone are not enough. Scripture points that to us. The scriptures are Torah. Yeshua was teaching Torah on the Mount. And he says, even right here, he says later on, in Matthew 22, as we read, there were the two, love Adonai, faith, love your neighbor, obedience, action. Two things you have to do. And they both have to be done in order to live a thriving scriptural life. And in order for the Torah to be a thriving scriptural document, it has to be both. You have to do both. You have to read both. You have to know both. You have to do them. So when you're asked, how do you know you love Adonai? But how do you know you have faith? The answer shouldn't be because I know it in my heart. Yes, you should know it in your heart. But another part of that answer is because I act it out. I acted out not just to Adonai, I acted out to my neighbor as it said. Love Adonai, have faith in Adonai, love your neighbor, act out the faith that you had in Adonai towards your neighbor. It takes action. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you that when we turn to you, you'll help us, both in faith and obedience. You'll help us in our understanding of who Adonai is, and you'll help us to live out in obedience that faith through actions towards others. Ruach, we ask that you give us opportunity to act out our faith towards others. Just as we've always asked you to give us opportunity to speak out who you are to the lost, so Adonai, give us opportunities to act out to the lost who you are, so that they may also be found, may also be saved, may also see who their Messiah is, the blood that cleansed them, and that they can walk in obedience with you when they have that faith as well. Ruach, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Ruach HaKodesh that helps us to walk out that word each and every day. And we all say, amen.